Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Going to mix it up a little bit today in the first segment, the first break between music. We're going to have the message and then the second break, we might let you share blessings or something. So we'll change it around a little bit. Before I start our morning public service announcement, Indiana is in stage three now, stage three opening, and so there are no numbers guidelines for us, but what we are doing is social distancing the best we can in a small building, in a small space, and they've been very flexible, understanding that in churches, if you're going to go to church, there are going to be proximity issues. It's just part of that, as in anything, in a restaurant or a grocery store. So, but we are, you know, being mindful of that. I think it's June. Did you make the masks out there? So June has made some face masks. If that's your comfort level, that you'd like that, there are some out there. Hand sanitizer, certainly a bathroom to wash your hands. All of that said, we want to keep you safe. We understand the responsibility. We understand seniors and the vulnerable of health issues. So we want to support you in your comfort level of safety. Bigger concern of mine is that we get along, that we don't divide over this issue. My bigger concern is that you are over there and you are scared and you want to wear a space suit to church and you're over there. This person is not scared at all and thinks the whole thing's stupid and they began to have issue. And that is not worth it. This virus is not worth that. Do not let this situation divide us or you. We respect everybody's position here. Whether you're scared to death or you could care less, we respect your thoughts and your position. And we'll support you the best we can in whatever you feel is a comfort level for you. If this small building is unsafe for you, the best thing for you to do is to stay home. I don't want to put you in any position, in any place where we can't keep you safe. So the seniors have done a great job of waiting, just waiting. I think some are talking about maybe coming back next week, a couple. So at that point, you know, they may want to sit over there and keep some distance between everybody. I respect that, and we will honor that and do everything we can. So honor and love your neighbor in spite of whatever your feelings are. Honor, respect, and love your neighbor in their wishes to feel safe, okay? But we have done a great job. You've done a fantastic job at that. And I know our numbers are down, and that's fine too. But our God is good. Our God is still good. This virus does not hinder him at all. He is good. His love is good. It endures forever. So that's my public service announcement. We love you all. We respect you all. We are courteous to all. My message this morning on this Memorial Day weekend, we'll begin in Mark chapter 1. I'm going to take you through a few passages of Scripture that I think will give us hope and encouragement in this time. It maybe uses some language that you're not used to thinking about when you think about Jesus and the gospel and the hope. In Mark chapter 1, it really is a key verse right here. And I'm going to show you a few things. But here's the one word that we'll probably key off of here in the next few minutes. And that is the word kingdom. Kingdom. Okay? You'll hear that word said. Kingdom. Throughout the Bible and the New Testament, kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, kingdom. Jesus will sit on the throne of David, kingdom. Kingdom of Israel, It's another kingdom. So kingdom, that's going to be a key word. And I want us to think that way about the kingdom of God. Okay? So Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Listen as I read. I'm going to ask you a couple of interesting questions here, and you'll see the kingdom of God here clearly. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Piece of cake. See that? Time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand or near. But here's a question I want to ask you. This is Jesus in his early years of ministry, maybe the first year. John the Baptist had just been arrested, and you can read in the other Gospels a little more detail about all that. But we know that this is early on in Jesus' ministry. And notice that he says in verse 14, he came proclaiming the gospel of God. Notice at the end, he says, repent and believe in the gospel. You and I know the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Why was he proclaiming the gospel? He's using the same language you and I do. If you want to accept Christ, if you want to be saved, you repent and believe. It's the same language. And he's saying that the kingdom of God is near. Hey, it's right here. It's on your doorstep. Repent and believe in the gospel. But he hadn't died yet. He hadn't rose yet. What's he talking about? What gospel is he talking about? It's a legitimate question. This is an absolute critical transitional verse for us to understand our Bible. Because the gospel of God is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It begins clear back in the Old Testament. It begins clear back to Abraham and before, and we will find out in a little bit, even to Abel. The gospel of God is the gospel from the front of my Bible to the end of my Bible. God is painting a picture of his salvation. Galatians 3 says, "Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying," quote, "in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." If I wanted to capsulize this gospel that Abraham lived and knew, I would say something like this: God will provide a lamb. And the very words in Genesis 22 are, God will provide for himself the lamb. The gospel of God, the repent and believe by faith, come to the kingdom of God, has been proclaimed and painted from Genesis to Revelation. It is the gospel that we know. And we have always entered the kingdom of God by Jesus Christ or through the gospel of God. I will provide a lamb. And Jesus is now saying, the lamb is here. That lamb, that gospel, the gospel of God, it's so near right now. You have no idea how near it is. The lamb is here. That's what he's saying. So this is a transitional verse for you. If anyone ever doubts in the Old Testament, how were they saved? What did they do? You bring them right here to Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, and you say, what gospel is Jesus talking about? Because salvation has always, always, always been through faith in the Lamb provided by God. in the blood offering. It has always been that way. Repent and believe. That's what Jesus was teaching. That is the way into the kingdom of God. Repent and believe in the Lamb. The Lamb is here. Let's develop this just a hair. Turn with me to John chapter 18. Still thinking the kingdom. John chapter 18. Jesus is on trial. He's been arrested. He's standing before Pilate. Pilate is asking him questions. He's answering. You may be familiar with this often read passage. John chapter 18. I'll begin it reading at verse 33. Pay close attention to verse 36. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" That's a great question. Are you asking me, or did somebody kind of put you up to this? Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Listen to what Jesus says. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting, that I might not be delivered over to the Jews." It says it again. "But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I'm a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" Are you of the truth? That's a question. That's an easy question. Jesus just said it. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. Are you of the truth? Do you listen to Jesus? Do you follow Jesus? Do you read about Jesus? Do you take what Jesus spoke and taught and you follow it? You're of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. But he said it twice. "My kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not from this world. My kingdom, my kingdom, my kingdom." Yes, he is the king of the kingdom of God. He is the king of the kingdom. And it's not from or of this world, this planet. See, the King of the Jews, he will sit on David's throne someday, but his kingdom is even greater, and they didn't want him to be their king, so they crucified him. He is the king. He's the king of the kingdom of God. He's the king of the kingdom of heaven. He is the king. He is sovereign over the kingdom. But it's not of this planet. It's not of this world. That is what he says twice very plainly. Very important. He declares. He says, "I have come to speak the truth." He has come to declare the kingdom. The kingdom is at hand. The kingdom is close. He's the way into the kingdom. He's the only way into the kingdom. He's the truth about the kingdom. He just said, "I've come to declare the truth." The truth about the kingdom and the way in. He's the life. He is the life. He is eternal life. He is life in the kingdom. This is what kingdom life looks like. This is how you can have it. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He's a king. My kingdom, my kingdom, my kingdom. It's not of this world. One more passage to round this out. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. This is one of my favorite little passages in the Scripture. I've probably spoke on and talked about it here several times, I suppose. I love this description. I love the language. I love to let my imagination go here. This is so cool. I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18. I'm going to start there and I'm going to read down through the end of chapter 12. And there's just stuff here that is just amazing. And I begin in verse 18. Notice this little phrase, "For you have not come." You have not come to. This is what we have not come to. You are a believer. You and I, we have received Jesus. We've accepted Jesus. We are of the truth and we follow Him. We listen to His voice. So we are what we call today believers, followers, saved. That's who He's talking to. Verse 18, this is what you and I have not come to. In this day and age on planet Earth, when someone thinks about Jesus, thinks about religion, thinks about how do I approach God, this is what they do not come to. If you're here and you're not a believer, this is not what you're coming to if you want to come to God. If you want to approach God, this isn't it. Listen in verse 18. You have not come to what may be touched. You can't touch it. A blazing fire and darkness and gloom and a tempest, a strong wind, a very strong wind. You have not come. You have not come to something that can be touched. You have not come to a blazing fire. You've not come to darkness. You've not come to gloom. You've not come to a tornado or a hurricane. Verse 19. You've not come to the sound of a trumpet and a voice whose words made the hearers beg that no further messages be spoken to them. You've not come to that. You've not come to that voice. Verse 20. They could not endure the order that was given. Quote, "If even a beast touches the mountain, it'll be stoned." Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, "I tremble with fear." You have not come to that. Not right now. This is not what we've come to in God. Verse 22. This is what you do come to when you come to God through Jesus Christ. "But you have come to Mount Zion and to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels in a festal gathering," a party, a celebration gathering, countless angels in the heavenly Jerusalem. That's where you come. "And to the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, made complete." That's where you come to. If you come to Jesus, you come to that. Verse 24. "And you come to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel." Pause. Hit the pause button. This is what we come to when we come to Jesus. Innumerable angels in a celebration, a heavenly Jerusalem. That's where the kingdom's at. The city of the living God. That's where we come to. When we come to God, when we come through Jesus, not fearful fire, we come to this. Jesus, the mediator, and the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. What's that mean? I need to show you that. Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. How does the sprinkled blood, the shed blood of Jesus, speak a better word than the blood of Abel? Well, you know that Cain killed his brother when they were in the field. Genesis chapter 4, verse 10. And the Lord said, "What have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground." Oh, it is speaking. It is speaking. "And now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand." Cain's offering was not accepted. It was an offering of vegetables. It was the fruit of the field, of what his hands had made there and planted in the field. And it was not acceptable. And God said, "Your offering's not acceptable." Abel's offering of blood, he has killed one of the flock, and he's offered me an offering, a life for forgiveness, a life for relationship to me. And that's acceptable. And Cain hated that and killed his brother over it. And Abel's blood cried out for a curse. But Jesus' shed blood cries out for forgiveness. Jesus' shed blood cries out for healing and hope and forgiveness. It's amazing. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 25. "See that you do not refuse him who is speaking." Don't refuse. Don't refuse this heavenly Jerusalem, this blood that speaks and cries out for forgiveness. Don't refuse him who is speaking. "For if they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, much less will we escape if we reject him who warns from heaven." At that time, his voice shook the earth. But now he has promised, "Yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens." This phrase, "yet once more," indicates the removal of things that are shaken. That is, things that have been made in order that the things that cannot be shaken may remain. There is a day coming. He is going to shake not only the earth, but the heavens, and remove them. And the only thing left will be the unshakable things, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem. That's the only thing that'll be left. He promises that right here. So he says, don't refuse this, because right now you are coming to the blood of Jesus that cries for forgiveness. Right now, you are coming to angels in a celebration. You are coming to men who have passed before you, made whole and made perfect. Spirits of righteous men. Right now, you are coming to something amazing if you're of the truth. Many of us in here have received Jesus Christ as our Savior. And it's so beautiful, isn't it, to walk with Jesus, to know that life? Isn't it beautiful to follow Him, to know His love, to sense His presence every day. His justice is new every morning. I can count on Him. He's my rock. When this world and this culture and our country is just shaken with this illness, man, our path is still just right there. God never moves. I just know I get up and I live for Him. I'm in His truth. And the path never changes. I love that. I love that. Did you know this? Verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. He still is a consuming fire. Been having a little fun in Zephaniah. And it reads this in Zephaniah 3:8. Therefore, wait for me, declares the Lord, for the day when I rise up to seize the prey. For my decision is to gather nations, to assemble kingdoms, to pour out upon them my indignation, all my burning anger. For in the fire of my jealousy, all the earth will be consumed. He is a consuming fire. On that day, we're waiting for that day right now. And as we wait, we come to Him through the blood of Jesus that just cries out, forgive them, forgive them. I've paid the price for them. Forgive them. The angels celebrating, righteous men made perfect. We just come to a forgiving, loving God waiting on that day when the consuming fire comes back and shakes everything. And the only thing left is the unshakable kingdom of God with our King, the King, Jesus, our Lord. I love that. Did you know you didn't just receive Jesus? You received a kingdom. Did you know that? I mean, with Jesus, He's the door, He's the way, He's the blood, He's everything. But you and I, we received a kingdom. Be grateful for receiving a kingdom that can't be shaken. Sometimes my life is shaken, man. Sometimes my life is upside down, shaken. I am hanging on, but I have a kingdom. I've received a kingdom with Jesus that can't be shaken. And the path never changes. He's given me His path, and He's given me His love. He's given me His commitment. He has given me His blood to get me there. And it can never be shaken. You've received a kingdom. Not just the King, a kingdom. Isn't that amazing? When we look around this planet right now and go, oh my gosh. We have a kingdom. You and I will join that festive celebration with innumerable angels, stand before God and the Lamb. And we will celebrate in our kingdom with Him. Beautiful, beautiful thing. So I want to, right now, Debbie Lynn, I want to worship Him with reverence and awe, with grateful hearts. This is not our home. This planet is shakable. It's sinful. There's stuff going on here. But this is not our home. And our home, the kingdom that belongs to us through our Lamb, the acceptable offering. What was the accepted offering, Cain and Abel? It was the shed blood. The gospel of the kingdom has been preached from Abel. The acceptable offering we come to God with is the shed blood of Jesus Christ that cries out, forgive them, forgive them, forgive them. They're of my kingdom. What a beautiful, beautiful thing. Let's worship Him.